Welcome to the Quest Podcast, proudly presented by the Muscular Dystrophy Association as part of the Quest family of content. I'm your host, Mindy Henderson. Our mission with this podcast is to bring thoughtful conversation to the neuromuscular disease community and beyond about issues affecting those with neuromuscular disease and other disabilities and those who love them. We'd also like to acknowledge CMT Awareness, Duchenne World Awareness Day, Myotonic Dystrophy Day, Periodic Paralysis Day, and LGMD Day, which we join you in celebrating this September. We are here for you to educate and inform, to demystify, to inspire, and to entertain. We are here shining a light on all that makes you, you. Whether you are one of us, love someone who is, or are on another journey altogether, thanks for joining. Today, our conversation is a continuation of our Access to the World series with more discussion on accessible travel. Now let's get started. I am so excited to welcome Miriam Eljas, co-founder and CEO of AccessibleGo.com, a full-service accessible travel platform providing search, reviews, and booking of accessible hotels, cruises, transport, and destinations worldwide. Miriam, I'm so excited to talk to you today because personally, I love to travel, but as a person who uses a wheelchair, travel logistics are complicated for me, and I've had experiences that sometimes make me a little hesitant to step out of my comfort zone and travel to new places. So welcome to you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today.
My pleasure. So why don't we just start at the beginning? Tell me how Accessible Go was created.
So basically, Accessible Go was inspired by my mother. My mother had multiple sclerosis, and growing up, you know, with a parent who used a wheelchair, it just really shaped how I looked at the world. Everything we wanted to do had to be accessible, whether it was going to a friend's house or going to the mall. And, you know, you had to always bear that in mind because, you know, there were many situations where you couldn't go into a certain venue. And so I always wanted to do something in this space where it would make a really big difference and help a lot of people. And, you know, I went on, did other things, but when the idea for Accessible Go emerged in a conversation, I was like, oh, wow, you know, a travel site to, you know, change how people can travel and really just revolutionize accessible travel. That would just be unbelievable. And here we are.
Love it. I absolutely love it because, you know, as I'm sure you know, when a person with a disability travels, so much hinges on those logistics and, you know, showing up to your hotel and having the accommodations be what you need and can really make or break a trip.
I think the concern and the fear about not knowing what you're getting into is really part of what we're trying to solve.
Love that. It's so good. So tell me, how is Accessible Go different than other travel booking websites?
So the majority of the really popular online travel booking sites, you know, they're trying to get you the best deal and they're giving you all these options. You go, you book, and you're done, right? But with Accessible Go, it's completely different. Obviously, we want to give you a good deal as well, but the main thing that we're trying to do is give you that trust and that confidence with our platform that you know what you're getting into and you know you're going to have a good experience. So that's really what we're all about. So with major travel sites, when you write down like a special request, like, you know, a roll-in shower or a grab bar, whatever it is that you need, most of the time it's not read. And with Accessible Go, that's like our bread and butter. We really want to make sure that people feel confident to book with us. And when a booking is made in our platform, we actually contact the hotel where you booked and we make sure that they're going to be able to meet your requirements. And if there's any kind of a problem, we let you know immediately. This is, of course, with 48 hours notice, but this is a total game changer because not only can you filter for the accessibility features that you need, but once you make your booking, we're going to make sure you get it. And if there's anything that you need to be aware of, we will let you know.
That's incredible. Can you tell me what some of those accessibility factors are that a person can specify that you are used to working through with people and talking to the hotels about?
So often the request might just be very basic, like, you know, roll-in shower, an ADA tub with grab bars, or they need a low floor room or a fridge for their medication. Those are like the most popular ones. But often people want to know, does this hotel have a pool with a lift? Now, obviously that doesn't go with your room, but sometimes people just want to understand, like, what the hotel is all about. And what I didn't explain before is that we are actively gathering accessibility data on hotels across the U.S. So when you come to the platform, we're collecting up to 40 data points per hotel. We've gathered data on 5,000. Yeah, it's a lot of work. We've gathered data on 5,000 properties. And so those data points, like I mentioned, up to 40 data points include everything from, is the lobby step-free? You know, do they have Braille menus? I mean, what are all those kind of details that can make or break someone's trip? But I would say the most popular ones are pretty basic, like roll and shower, tub with grab bars, and that kind of thing.
That's fantastic. So, you know, kind of like I alluded to earlier, you know, because there's so much at stake for someone with a disability who might show up and have their accommodations be maybe not what they were expecting, is it that, you know, that one-on-one contact with the hotel, actually speaking to someone, that really provides that level of accountability for the hotel?
Yeah, I think when you have a company calling as opposed to an individual, you know, and also we can bring more bookings. So hotels right now are, you know, they really want to improve their bottom line and they want to do the right thing. And so what we're trying to do is to show them we're a company, this is a booking, you know, through our platform, we can bring you more bookings and please make sure you treat our customer, you know, with that you take care of their needs. And hotels understand that and they want people to have good experiences. And they're yeah. usually pretty honest that if they don't have the feature that, you know, they're supposed to have, they will tell us, because they don't want someone to show up and have a bad experience.
Great. That's fantastic. So let's pivot just a little bit. You know, clearly you're doing a lot of great work at Accessible Go, but are there, you know, just in the work that you do and the industry that you're in, are there any kind of trends that you see in travel for individuals with disability where progress is being made in terms of making travel easier for individuals with disabilities?
So there's a few different pieces to that. So number one, the newer hotels, you know, are supposed to be more accessible because, you know, the more recent they're built, they more likely built according to, you know, the right code. So the older hotels often have issues and sometimes they're grandfathered in. They're technically compliant with the law, but they're not actually accessible. So often people say, oh, you know, this hotel is ADA compliant, but that doesn't mean that they're accessible. So that's a big misconception. But in terms of trends, so, you know, newer hotels usually have more options, more accessibility, and the bigger hotels also, because the number of accessible rooms is dependent on the size of the hotel. So they'll have a certain amount of roll-in showers, a certain amount of ADA tubs, and so on and so forth. But I would say one of the most exciting things that we're seeing is that the time is really ripe in terms of Accessible Go, because there's this general trend of awareness of travel needs. And I think even in the last, you know, few years, we've seen that travel businesses are much more aware of accessibility than before. I wouldn't say it's, you know, perfect, because, you know, far from it, there's a lot of work to be done. But in general, you know, you'll see like ad campaigns that specifically go out of their way to feature people with disabilities. And there's just this awakening that, you know, people with disabilities are going out, they are traveling, they want to see places, they want to, you know, they want to travel. And I think especially hotels are starting to recognize that.
That's so great. That's really good news. So is there anything then that surprised you with all the work that you've done with hotels in terms of what accommodations hotels are willing or not willing to make, or are, you know, or are set up or not set up to make?
Yeah, I think one of the things that was really surprising to myself and also to our team was that there's sometimes just such a lack of knowledge by the public-facing staff in the hotels. So, for example, sometimes we'll, you know, like I said, when a booking is complete in our platform, one of our customer service representatives contacts the property to confirm that your needs will be met. And we've actually seen many times that these public-facing staff have no idea. They just don't know. And it's like, how could you be working at a hotel and not understand, you know, what a hearing system is, or not understand, you know, fully what a roll-in shower is? So some of the chains have gotten a lot better about training, but there's a long way to go in terms of, like, making sure that the public-facing staff is fully aware of, you know, what people need, depending on the type of disability they have.
I know that one of the other elements to your website is kind of a community element where people can leave reviews. They can have discussions about different properties and trips and things that they've taken. Is there anything in those conversations that's been surprising to you in terms of what you've been able to learn from travelers?
I don't know if I would say so much surprising, but just that, you know, as you mentioned, the community is a big part of what we're doing. I would say, like, it's the combination of our accessibility data, a really unique booking experience, and the community that set us apart from the other travel sites. And I think that the community where people are sharing their experiences for good or for bad is so essential. Like, the other day we had a community member who was sharing an experience that he had on vacation. And he was so excited because the resort he'd been to really went out of their way to make sure that not only did he have a good experience, but they wanted to learn. And I think for him, he was really surprisingly shocked in a good way that this hotel wanted to really, really make sure that they had, you know, what else could they do? And that's very new. I don't think you would have seen that a few years ago. Like I said, I think there's this. Yeah, it's like a trend. I wouldn't say obviously every hotel is like that because, you know, obviously, unfortunately, there are some bad experiences, and that's why we need reviews, because the reviews give the community perspective on, you know, yes, a hotel may tell us that they have certain accessibility features, but the review will either confirm or conflict with what the hotel claims to have. So reviews, I think, are such an important part of our platform that you can see what it's really like to experience a stay at a specific property. So I think in terms of surprises, I think in general the surprises have been the positivity, because usually people, when they have a disability, they're very afraid to have a bad experience, and rightfully so, because, you know, there have been many incidents where hotels were ill-prepared, misrepresented information, and I think I would say, not to be like a cheerleader, but things are really on the up and up in terms of awareness and a desire to really, you know, improve.
I think that's fantastic to hear. And it really is encouraging if that's kind of the majority of what you're seeing coming through your website. That's exciting.
Sure. And we definitely have reviews that are negative. I'm not going to, you know, say that there aren't, you know, unfortunately, some negative experiences out there. But then the whole purpose is that when somebody unfortunately has a bad experience, whether or not they booked with us, we want them to share that with the community. So number one, people know, you know, when they're booking what their options are. And, you know, and also everybody has different accessibility needs. So somebody might be, you know, what doesn't work for one person might work for another. So a hotel that may not be, you know, completely accessible but is technically ADA compliant, someone might be able to stay there where someone else couldn't. It just depends on what they need.
Absolutely. And you read my mind. I mean, and there are all kinds of disabilities, of course, as well. There are mobility issues. There are people who are visually or hearing impaired, you know, all kinds of things for hotels to accommodate. And they may do better in one area than others, of course.
Sure, sure. You know, and it's interesting to see also, especially after, you know, COVID, not that, you know, COVID is over, but people are starting to travel again. And I think that hotels really, especially because they were hit very hard, they are really looking to, you know, not only improve their bottom line, but to do the right thing. And we're definitely seeing that. We're having a lot of hotel management companies reaching out to us to get their accessibility data on our platform. And that's exciting. It's really exciting. We're continuing to make a lot of progress in terms of, you know, covering more and more cities for accessibility information.
Definitely. So for individuals with maybe mobility disabilities, like those with neuromuscular disease who may be listening, in your experience, are there places, you know, cities that you've found to be kind of the best in terms of destinations for people with disabilities?
That's a great question. I think, you know, what we've seen, at least with Accessible Go, is that most of the bookings are actually for smaller cities, in that, you know, people aren't looking for these big splashy vacations in huge cities right now. They're looking to visit their friends and family. They're going on regional trips, and they're staying at hotels because the hotels are often the anchor for the trip. But I would say in terms of, like, you know, places that are getting it right, I wouldn't say that there's one specific city, but I would say, again, newer cities that are built, have more hotels that are built more recently, are more likely to have a better experience. So older cities often have more accessibility problems because a lot of their infrastructure was built when accessibility wasn't top of mind.
Right. And one of the things also that I don't think we've mentioned yet is, in addition to, you know, like the hotels and all of the assistance that you give with booking hotels and specific accessibility issues, is, you know, finding destinations and things to do in the cities that are particularly accessible, right?
Yeah, exactly. So one of the first things we did when we launched our platform was we kind of mapped out the top 30 cities in America. And so, for example, if you're looking for, you know, the top 10 things to do in Orlando, or, you know, a 48-hour itinerary for San Diego, we have all kinds of really exciting content about things to do. And we also created an initial level of resources for each of those 30 cities. So if you are stuck in, let's say, I don't know, Houston, and your wheelchair broke, or you want to go on a tour where they have accessibility in mind, you know, front and center, we have all kinds of resources for those top 30 cities. Again, this is before we had launched the booking capability, so now we see that a lot of the travel patterns are for the smaller cities. But we do have all kinds of exciting, fun content, yeah.
That's actually not what I thought you would have said, so that's really interesting.
Yeah, people use us to, you know, their regular trips to visit their sister in Los Angeles, or to go to their grandchildren's graduation, or for a family, you know, road trip. Not necessarily like, you know, 2 weeks in Orlando at Disney World and that kind of thing.
Right. Interesting. Okay. So, you know, obviously there are a lot of other components to travel. We're talking, you know, mainly about hotels, but there's ground travel when you've got mobility issues. There's there's air travel, which is a whole other can of worms that we're going to talk about in another part of this episode. There's cruises and all sorts of things. So what sort of tips or advice would you give travelers with disabilities around making travel as successful as possible?
So I think planning is essential, and I think everybody knows that because it's obvious, but you just can't leave a lot of things to chance, because depending on the city you're going to, you know, you don't know what kind of infrastructure they have and what kind of resources are available. So with Accessible Go, our vision is to cover each aspect of the travel journey, from, you know, the ground transportation to the flight to the hotel to the attraction and whatnot. But at the moment, our focus is on hotels. And so when it comes to ground transportation, we have all kinds of listings, just as an example, because ground transportation is one of the biggest problems people talk about. We do have all kinds of listings for those top 30 cities about resources for your trip. But I would say that, you know, not leaving things to chance and calling places in advance and making sure that your specific needs will be met is so essential, because you don't want to be stuck. And it's always good to have a plan B.
Yes.
That's really important, because, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, you don't want some taxi company taking too long to get to you and having no other option.
Great point. Are there things that you're aware of or that you would suggest that individuals can do to help kind of perpetuate progress in the travel industry and advocate for better and better accessibility in lodging, let's say?
Definitely. I think we talked about earlier about the review. I think that is so essential, because when you have a bad experience, when you have staff that are not properly trained, when you go to use, let's say, a roll-in shower and things in the bathroom are not situated in the right places, so you can't, you know, bathe properly, you need to document it in the review. And these reviews, as we get more and more reviews in our platform, they're going to be so powerful, because, you know, at the end of the day, hotels, they want to do a good job. They want to keep their guests happy. And sometimes, you know, it's not necessarily from a bad place. They just simply don't know, aren't aware, not enough people complain. And I think the problem is people have had bad experiences, and they've kind of been like, oh, you know, this is just how it is. And the truth is, it's not how it has to be, and it can be different. And by speaking up and writing reviews and sharing it with the community and participating, for example, like in our forum, if somebody says, you know, can you recommend a hotel for me, you know, in Pigeon Forge or wherever, and people from the community share their good and bad experiences, that's really, I think it's the power of the community that makes travel businesses want to do the right thing.
Great. And so I know that your company is, what, 3 or 4 years old now? Is that about right?
Yeah, basically, in the beginning of the company, we were building a lot of the content and the infrastructure to get the platform live, because simply, you know, to offer the booking capability and the rich data that we've collected on the hotels, it took us a lot of time to create that infrastructure for our platform. And so we really got going probably right before COVID.
Yeah. And it seems like you've made amazing progress in that short amount of time with everything that you've been able to put in place. What else is on the horizon for you? What additional problems would you like to solve for travelers?
So we talked about, like, you know, grand transportation and attractions. I think, like, these are some of the key parts of the trip where people, we want to give travelers who have a disability the confidence and the trust to know that they're going to have a good experience. And so by offering these additional travel products on the platform where they can search by accessibility requirement, where they can see reviews by fellow travelers, that is so exciting to us, you know, to be able to make that difference and to make people feel more comfortable when they travel. It's a total game changer, and it's just, for us, it's tremendously exciting. And so I would say, in terms of, you know, next steps, adding those additional features to the platform and really dramatically increasing the size of our community as, you know, travel starts to return, that's what's next for us.
That's all so fantastic. And like I said, I am a traveler at heart. I haven't done nearly as much of it as I would like to do for all of the reasons that we're talking about today. There's so much to consider. But I think, you know, people like yourselves who are working hard to solve those problems is fantastic. And I would echo your sentiments about people, you know, just sharing their experiences and making things known. I think you're right. I think just using our voices is what's going to help make things better. And I think it's exciting, the trends that we're seeing already. Any last advice or thoughts that you want to share with people as we close out?
Sure. I think there are a couple things. So first of all, I think for us at Accessible Go, what makes what we're doing so compelling and exciting and meaningful is that just that we can really change travel for people with disabilities and, you know, take that fear and change it into, you know, excitement about a trip instead of being worried that you're not going to get what you booked or that you're going to have a bad experience. And for us, that's just, it's very powerful to be able to have that kind of an impact. Because, you know, trips really have a lasting feeling. Even after you've returned home, it's these trips that really kind of stay in your mind and can have such an effect on, you know, your sense of well-being. And I think that's really important. But I think also in terms of the community, it's like I was saying before, I think in the past, people just kind of put up with situations because, as you know, in previous times, it was just that's how it was. You know, you showed up at a property, your room was given to the wrong person, you didn't get your roll-in shower. Tough luck, that's just how it is. But now it's like, no, you want to share it on, you know, in our forum, you want to write a review, share on social media, and the more people that show that, you know, people with disabilities are traveling, and everybody, no matter, you know, what their personal situation is, should have a positive travel experience. And I think by showing the volume of people who have these needs, so that, for example, when you show up at a property and your room is given to the wrong person, oftentimes the hotel staff thinks, oh, maybe it's not really going to get used. And so when people, you know, speak up, the more people that speak up and share their experiences, it's definitely going to change things.
Definitely. Such good advice and exciting things that it sounds like not only are you doing, but are coming. So thank you, Miriam, so much for your time and your expertise and for all that you're doing to help advocate for these good experiences.
Thank you. It was wonderful to, you know, to be on the podcast today, and thanks for the opportunity to share about Accessible Go.
You're so welcome. Thank you. Thank you for listening. For more information about the guests you heard from today, go check them out at mda.org/podcast. And to learn more about the Muscular Dystrophy Association, the services we provide, how you can get involved, and to subscribe to Quest Magazine or to Quest Newsletter, please go to mda.org/Quest. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you'd leave a review. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button so we can keep bringing you great content and maybe share it with a friend or two. Thanks, everyone. Until next time, go be the light we all need in this world.